Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the El Cargo Terminals Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suyash Samant from Stellar IR Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We have with us today the senior management team of El Cargo Terminals Limited: Suresh Kumar, Managing Director; Preetham Bhatta, Chief Financial Officer; and Mr.
Sorry to interrupt. Can you please repeat again? Your voice breaks.
Oh, sorry. I'll just start again. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We have with us today the senior management team of El Cargo Terminals Limited: Mr. Suresh Kumar, Managing Director; Mr. Preetham Bhatta, Chief Financial Officer; and Mr. Sanjay Punjabi, Investor Relations, who will represent El Cargo Terminals Limited on the call. The management will be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the quarter ended June 30, 2025, followed by a question-and-answer session. Please note, this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of the company's future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statement to reflect developments that occur after a statement is made. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Suresh Kumar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Suyash. Good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to all of you on the El Cargo Terminals Limited Q1 FY26 call. Thank you for joining us. We have uploaded the results press release last evening and the presentation on the stock exchanges and the company's website. I hope you've had an opportunity to go through the same. I will, over the next few minutes, give you an overview of the economy, the industry, the ATL business, after which I will hand over the call to Preetham to discuss the financial performance for the first quarter of the financial year. To begin with, the global economic outlook remains challenging. The IMF report projects global GDP growth at around 3% in 2025. However, it continues to face headwinds from trade tensions and geopolitical uncertainties. Amidst all this, India remains the fastest-growing major economy. Growth is expected to moderate slightly to 6.4% in FY26. The outlook remains strong, supported by resilient domestic demand, services growth, and government-led investments. On the trade front, July saw the signing of the UK-India Free Trade Agreement, expected to boost bilateral trade by £25.5 billion annually by 2040. This reduces tariffs on 90% of British goods and grants duty-free access to almost 99% of Indian exports. Meanwhile, the EU and US announced a provisional trade framework aimed at de-escalating tariff tensions. Coming to El Cargo Terminals, I would like to mention that we have a proposal to raise 38 crores through fully convertible warrants to fund our growth plans. These growth plans are something that I've outlined in previous investor calls, is with a three-year horizon, and I'm happy to share with you that we have begun FY26 on a very strong footing. Momentum for our three-year strategic plan is building, with the planned capacity additions in key markets like Nhava Sheva and Mundra in line with our long-term vision to handle a million laden TEUs. This year, our key focus is on driving volume growth while sustaining profitability. Our EBITDA per TEU continues to improve. This is very encouraging, and this reinforces our confidence in maintaining industry-leading profitability. With the trust of our customers reflected in strong retention rates, a digital-first approach, and a capable and experienced team, we are well-positioned to deliver on our stated objectives and realize our three-year plan. I'm handing you over now to Preetham Bhatta to take you through the financial details. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Suresh. Welcome to our Q1 FY26 earnings call. I will take you through highlights of financial results for the first quarter of the new financial year. The total volume handled for Q1 FY26 stood at 1,51,100 TEUs. Revenue for the quarter stood at rupees 187 crores as compared to 190 crores for Q1 FY25 and INR 186 crore for Q4 FY25. EBITDA excluding other income for Q1 FY26 stood at rupees 35 crore as compared to rupees 30 crores for Q1 FY25 and rupees 34 crores for Q4 FY25. For Q1 FY26, the company reported an EBITDA per TU of rupees 2292, depicting a growth of 22% as compared to Q1 FY25 and 4% as compared to Q4 FY25. Net profit for Q1 FY26 stood at rupees 9 crore as compared to rupees 10 crores for Q1 FY25. And a loss of rupees 2 crore in Q4 FY25. This is the summary for financial results for Q1 FY26. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Vikram sir, your voice is breaking a lot.
Is it okay now?
Yes sir, now it's okay. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Sir, how is the feedback and community members with the previous tariff?
Sorry to interrupt sir, your voice is still not clear.
I will come back in a queue, give me a few minutes.
Okay sir, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The next question is from the line of Vedant from Khushi Capital Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So my first question is on the line of, as you have mentioned in the presentation, we are talking about handling around 1 million TEUs in the long term. So what is the strategy to achieve this target and where are we planning to add capacities?
Okay. So would you want to ask all your questions or would you like me to respond to one of them, one after the other?
Sure, sir. Sure, sir.
Okay. So thank you, Vedant, for your interest in the sector and in all cargo terminals. Our three-year plan, which we have been talking about in the last couple of investor calls, aims at getting us to 1 million laden TEUs in the next 3 years. Just to give you a background, currently we handle about 6.5 lakh laden TEUs every year with a capacity of around 8.3 million TEUs across the 7 facilities that we are present. Obviously, to handle 1 million TEUs, we need to build capacity. We have embarked on expanding capacity since the last quarter of last year, adding capacity in Mundra by renewing our partnership with PwC. We have expanded our facility in JNPA, our flagship facility in JNPA, by adding 25 acres. We have bought land in Mundra outside the SEZ, 60 acres of land, where we propose to construct a new CSS in phases. And there are other plans at Farooqnagar for a greenfield ICD. And we are also exploring opportunities to increase our capacity in Chennai. All these capacity enhancement initiatives will increase our capacity from the current 8.3 lakh TEUs to over 1.25, 1.3 million TEUs. So that's about 13 lakh TEUs. You would have noticed in our presentation that we currently operate at around 85 to 90% capacity. So with a capacity of 1.3 million that we will build up over the next 3 years and the capacity utilization of about 85 to 90%, we expect to cross a million TEUs. That is the internal story. For this, obviously, the addressable market also needs to grow, and we need to ensure that our market share in the growing addressable market continues to remain strong. We currently estimate a market share of about 12 to 12.5% in the CFS markets that we operate in the five locations that we are in. We expect to grow this market share in the coming years by 1 to 1.5%. Plus, we all know that the Indian economy grows at about 6 to 6.5%. That's the most conservative estimate of the Indian economy, which will add to the addressable market. So it is a combination of capacity building, ensuring that we have the right kind of capacity in the locations which are growing, continue to build on our customer franchise and equity, enhance capacity utilization to the levels which I mentioned. These are the core things that we will do to ensure that we become an organization which handles a million laden TEUs in the next 3 years. I hope I have been able to cover all the aspects in your mind, Vedant.
Yes, so that was a very detailed answer and clear a lot of things. But as a follow-up question, as we are talking about adding capacity, are we planning any fundraisers? Because I have recently seen there was a fundraise of around 38 crore. Will there be any fresh fundraising, and was the recent fundraise as well for the capacity expansion?
Yeah, the recent fundraise that we have done of 38 crores, in effect, kickstarts our plans for expansion. We have a clear funding plan for the next 3 years for the various projects that I have indicated. We have already invested about 110 crores for the HORCL rail connectivity in Farooqnagar. And there is a certain CAPEX requirement that we have estimated for the next 3 years. I will request Preetam to take you through what have we estimated as our CAPEX requirements and how do we propose to fund it.
Sure, Suresh. So for a like very near future, foreseeable future, we have two projects which are coming up. One is Mundra CFS, other is Farooqnagar ICD. Mundra CFS we are proposing to execute in two phases. Phase 1 should start in next quarter or so, which will give us additional 1 lakh TEUs capacity. So the phase 1 estimated cost is around 75 crores. For Farooqnagar project, the estimated capex investment is in the range of 115 crores. We are overall estimating 200 to 280 crores of capex outlay between these two projects. Because these projects are spread over 1 year or 18 months of period, a lot of this capex requirement would be taken care of from our internal cash flow generation. Our existing CFSs continue to generate strong cash flow with a good DSO of 18 to 20 days. So that way, these businesses would continue to generate cash outflow and fund this capex expansion. Also, we have equity infusion plans in place. 38 crore of equity infusion is already on the course, subject to regulatory approval. Right, and there are other plans as well, which we will disclose at appropriate time. With the internal cash flow and equity infusion plan, the dependency on borrowing would be limited, and it would be only required to the extent of a kind of bridge capital, which we are estimating in the range of 50 to 70 crores. So that way, additional borrowings would be very limited while funding this CAPEX project. I hope, Vedanji, I am able to answer your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That was very detailed as well. So a follow-up question on, as we are talking about expanding our capacities, so, but in terms of the industry and the demand, is the demand sufficient for our industry? And even if it's sufficient, how do we compare with our peers? And like, what are our key strengths that would differentiate us and keep us above them?
Again, thank you. Thank you, Vedant, for that question. With regard to industry, the container industry, the Exim trade, is very, very closely linked to the GDP numbers of the country. And at 6-6.5% predicted by almost every analyst, I think India is on a very strong growth path, and we expect the same to happen to the container industry. It could only be better. The addressable market will also grow at a similar pace. And with all the new investments which are happening in terms of infrastructure and all the initiatives of the government to boost Make in India, exports from India, the Sagarmala project, the Gati Shakti program, all these are intended to facilitate greater Exim trade in the country. And therefore, there is every reason to believe that the GDP growth will reflect significantly in terms of the containerized movement of cargo. Not to mention DFCC and those kind of initiatives, which are also reaching completion. So there will be enough demand in the market. What is it that differentiates all cargo terminals from the others? All cargo terminals, we have our facilities currently in five locations, which contribute to about 80% of India's Exim trade. Which are these five locations? Nhava Sheva, Mundra, Chennai and Calcutta. We also have an ICD at Dadri. Capacity expansion, I briefly mentioned to you what is it that we are planning to do. And our capacity expansion is largely in these markets that I have mentioned. And these markets will continue to be the gateway for India's Exim trade. So that is the second part of the question. The third thing that you asked is, how do we differentiate ourselves? The first differentiation that we have is as an organized listed entity and also as a pan-India operator, I think we offer scope of services which extend beyond one or two facilities. And in a very fragmented CFS industry, we have a pan-India presence and the market share reference I shared with you earlier. So one of the key advantages that we have is our pan-India presence. Second is the customer relations and the equity and the franchise that we hold with our customers. Being a business that has been around for over 20 years, we have built a solid reputation for operational capabilities, reliability, and now we are topping it up with digital enablement. The digital enablement is in the form of a MyCFS portal, which is the first of its kind in the industry. This enables customers to log on to the MyCFS portal or the app on the mobile phones, see what is happening to their cargo on a real time, and do the basic stuff that they need to do for cargo clearance through the mobile phone or through the portal. We expect this customer convenience to only improve when our systems get further integrated with the regulatory systems of the customs and others. So that's the second differentiation. The third differentiation that we have is because of our national pan-India presence, we are able to leverage scale efficiencies across the country, be it in transport contracts or in equipment contracts. These are the two things which contribute a large to our OPEX, and therefore we are able to kind of manage industry-leading profitability by keeping a very sharp eye on the OPEX cost that we have. So this is what makes us very strong independently as ATL. And the final point that I would like to add to this is we are part of the All Cargo Group. And therefore, we benefit from the larger group's presence in multiple portions of the logistics chain. You would know that All Cargo Group is present as an integrated logistics provider covering ocean freight, container terminals, portside logistics, express business, contract logistics, warehousing. So as part of an integrated solutions to customers, we therefore benefit from a certain steady stream of business which comes to the All Cargo Group. This is what differentiates us from the rest of the CFS ICD operators.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That was very detailed as well. That has surely cleared my mind about the long-term future. But just to add another question on the short-term future, like are we facing any challenges with the current imposition of tariffs from US? Are we facing any difficulties because of that in our business?
So thank you. Thank you again, Vedant, for the question. So with regard to the tariffs, which is being talked about a whole lot, I think one needs to look at it from the point of view of what do these tariffs do to the addressable market of the container freight stations and the ICD business. So if you were to look at the addressable market or the cargo which moves into the container freight stations and the ICDs that we operate, a whole lot of this cargo, in fact, a significant majority of this cargo, originate from geographies which are not U.S. So these originate from China, these originate from the African subcontinent, these originate from a little originate from the Far East. So this is where the bulk of our cargo, the import cargo, originates. The second thing to look at is what is the kind of cargo which comes into imports, and to compare that with what is it that the tariffs, the U.S. tariffs in particular, is likely to impact. So if you look at the U.S. tariffs, there is a widespread understanding that this is largely will impact sectors like pharma, sectors like precious gems, metals, those kind of things, which are not really part of the CFS addressable market because a lot of them lend themselves to air cargo and things like that. So both from a geography point of view and from a commodities point of view, I don't think there is a significant impact of the tariffs that you are referring to from the U.S., which we foresee on our operations. But as in everything, uncertainty is not good for business sentiment. To that extent, I think whatever uncertainty which hits because of this tariff stop-start kind of a thing which is there might have an overall impact on the economy and things like that and on the sentiment. Some of that might trickle down, and I think this is true for every player in the industry. But I would like to kind of, with optimism, say that this doesn't impact the CFS ICD addressable market as much as it might impact some other portions of the economy. So we don't see a significant impact of these tariffs on our business.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. That was the last question from my side. All the best for your future time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Samrat Jadhav from Prosperity Wealth Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Hope I'm audible.
Yes,
you're audible,
Samrat.
Please go ahead.
Great. Okay. So I have four questions. One is on the CFS volumes. Basically, our CFS volumes grew 5% year-on-year with 90% utilization, around 90% utilization. What is the expected volume growth trajectory for the rest of the year for the financial 26, especially with the new capacity coming online? The second question is on what market shares gains we have made in the key ports of JNPT and Mundra in the Q1, and what do you expect, which could be the biggest upside between these both? Third is on the exim trade. Basically, in your presentation said that it's around 6% growth that is expected. Are we planning near around same growth, or it would be bigger than that, like 7, 8, 9%, whatever number basically? And the fourth one is on the EBITDA and PAT guidance from the management, considering the finance cost and ongoing CapEx.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Samrat. Four questions, out of which I will attempt to answer the first three around volumes, market share, and exim trade. I will request Preetham to chip in on the fourth, which is on the EBITDA and the PAT trend. So on volumes, you have rightly picked up the numbers, 5%. And with the capacity expansion that we have done in JNPA, that we have added 25 acres to our existing flagship facility, and then Mundra, the renewal has expanded our capacity because there is an additional 10 acres which we have. So both this will really start to kick in H2 of this year because there is a certain amount of preparation that one needs to do. So we expect H2, the growth to be better than the 5% that we are currently running at. And maybe a couple of percentage points minimum is what one can add. Only then we will continue to leverage the additional capacity and keep our capacity utilization closer to the 85 to 90%. So we expect an accelerated growth in volumes in the second half. The other thing that you asked about was about market shares in Q1. Market shares in Q1 are estimate, and these are based upon our understanding of the market. we have pretty much held on to market share in most of the markets that we operate in, which would be in the range of around 12%. That's what our estimate of our market share is in the CFS business.
JNPT
and Mundra. Mundra, I've been talking in investor calls about a certain portion of the business, the addressable market, having been taken up by the port, because the port has created, which is the Adani Ports, they have created an Exim Yard, which takes up a portion of the addressable market of the CFSs. And therefore, that kind of has kept the market, overall market size, rather constant there in Mundra, even though there is an increase. But we also see some overflow from the Exim Yards finally coming back to the CFS. And therefore, we believe there should be the kind of growth that we have seen in the past quarters to continue in Mundra. The third portion of your question was about Exim Trade, 6% growth. I think there is every reason to believe that we will continue to remain on that trajectory. We spoke about that when Vedant asked the question about tariffs and things like that.
So our expectation is the same 6% or more than 6%?
I think it should be in the range of 6%. There will be seasonal variations that you would see typically in Q2, Q3, then the Q4 variations with regard to the Chinese New Year and all those things. As an experienced observer of the industry, I'm sure you're noticing this seasonal fluctuations, but largely in the range of 6.5%.
Around 6%. Okay. Great. Yes. On the first question, of the CFS volume 5%, so we are expecting more than 5%, or it could be the same? As you said, H2 would be better.
H2 would be better because we are running at capacity at close to 90%, which also means that some of our facilities are running to full capacity. And when we get this additional capacity in JNPT, we will be able to garner additional volumes. So to that extent, that capacity boost will reflect in terms of larger growth in H2.
Any ballpark number?
We are in the early stages. So if you were to look at it, we have just got the approvals, the necessary approvals in the month of July. And we would wait to see how August and September goes before we kind of take a view on the balance push of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. And just to kind of add, I didn't have the context earlier, I should have shared this, and this would be of interest to all of you, about the three-year plan that we are working on. There are significant milestones that we have crossed in the three-year plan. So if you have been observing our three-year plan and the conversation around it, we have talked about capacity expansion in Mundra through two methods. One is the renewal of the CWC concession that we have, which we have renewed successfully in December. Second is addition of a new CFS with our own land outside the SEZ. I'm happy to share with you that the last month, this is after Q1, we have received the necessary regulatory permission to set up the CFS in Mundra. The third thing that we've been talking about is the Farooqnagar Greenfield ICD. Again, I'm happy to share with you that we have received the regulatory permissions, which is the IMC in principle approval to set up an ICD in Farooqnagar. So whatever we have shared with you over the last few quarters on the three-year plan, we are proceeding and progressing in the right manner with the necessary approvals and the necessary addition of capacity happening. So this for us is a strong indication of what one could expect from us, because the plan is proceeding just like how we have outlined. And in the plan, we have also said there could be increases in volumes at certain times which will happen. And I'm happy to share with the group that we are well on course to realize those plans. On that note, Preetam will take the fourth portion of your question with regard to EBITDA and PAT.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
So basically, if you have seen our last few quarters numbers, I think you would have seen that some of the profitability indicators have been moving in the right direction. So revenue per TU, we have been able to improve from 11,800 in March 24 quarter to 12,500, close to 12,500 in June 25 quarter. Even gross margin from 32% has grown up to 36% in this particular quarter. And this is like a gradual increase which we have been doing, the result of various incremental measures which we have taken over the last 12 months or so. So that way, I think 12 months back, we spoke about 2,000 rupees per TU as EBITDA as our target. we are there and we have been maintaining at that level since last 2-3 quarters. So going forward also we would maintain at that level. That would be our key things to look at. Having said that, with this JNPT extension, which is actually has been added in this quarter, will start giving us more volume without incremental cost, because a lot of the cost would get shared. So that would give some up to the EBITDA. Also, whenever Mundra phase 1 comes up, we would be doing substantial savings in rentals as well. So that will also push the EBITDA per TU up. So while as a policy, we stay away from giving any specific guidance in terms of profit numbers, what I would like to convey here is we would maintain our EBITDA at 2000 level, which we are currently, and some of the measures which we have already taken, that would only help us to improve from here on. That's like a short in terms of how we expect the margins, EBITDA and PAT to move upwards. We are also, another thing is we are also using our existing cash resources. We are also looking to repay some of our debts which we have, around 100 crore we are having. So that will also begin substantial saving in terms of interest. So that will also impact my PBT and PAT. So these are the things would help us in improvement in EBITDA as well as PAT.
Okay, so basically you are considering that whatever money would be saved, that would be utilized into the finance, increasing finance cost basically for the CapEx.
So internal accruals would be used for funding my CapEx. Plus we have cash flows, and that can be used for repayment of existing debt or for the CapEx funding as well.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thanks for answering my all questions. Great. And best of luck for the next quarter.
Thank you. Thank you, Samrat.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. I repeat, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question is from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. And sorry if there is a repetition of question because my line got disconnected. Just wanted to understand 2-3 things. One, outlook post DFCC connectivity to JNPT, how it will pan out with the rail coefficient and cargo which is going to CFS, that mix. If you can give some sense, and when JNPT DFCC connectivity is likely to happen, that is one. Second, on Mundra, a lot of cargo which directly goes to ICD. So what is the basic catchment area for a CFS which we are targeting at Mundra? If you can give some addressable market there. And third is like development of Wadhwan port. Going forward, do we also seek that location as a future prospect, or JNPT and Mundra would be sufficient to take care of catchment area?
Yeah. Hello, Vikram. Yeah, Vikram, yeah. Welcome back. Welcome back to the call. Always a pleasure hearing from you. Thank you for keeping a close track of us and also the logistics sector. Always a pleasure talking to you. Your questions around the DSCC, around Mundra catchment area and Wadhwan. The simpler one in that is Wadhwan. Wadhwan is a good 3-4 years away. So we have still not factored that into our 3-year plan. I think there is still some time around to take the strategic calls around Wadhwan. And whatever we have heard from the authorities and JNPA port about Wadhwan, all sound very promising. In terms of capacity, you know it's going to be massive capacity which gets built in, virtually doubling capacity handling of ports in India. Most likely CFSs and the allied services is something which will be counted upon for Wadhwan. So whatever we know about Wadhwan, everything sounds positive, and we look forward to more details. The other questions that you asked about DFCC, about Mundra, I think you've been watching the Mundra market develop over the many years. The catchment areas remain the same. For north of India, I think whatever cargo needs to go out from the NCR region or imports into the northern portion, I think Mundra becomes a preferred port, and that is what is kind of driven Mundra volumes to almost similar levels as of the Nhava Sheva volumes. I don't see any major change happening there. DFCC brings in faster turnaround times for both import and export cargo, and that will be the major change, and because of that, there will be a shift of multimodal traffic at the suitable time, and that is something which one is looking forward to in line with the government policies, which says that the multimodal mix in the country is heavily skewed towards the road. DFCC is a mechanism by which the rail traffic can start to increase, and we expect the DFCC, those plans to start to happen. With regard to addressable markets which come to the CFSs, I think we have gone through multiple phases, starting with the DPDE situation, and now we are headed into full-fledged DFCC coming in, and the volumes which come into the ports have constantly increased, and there is a certain capacity utilization which starts to happen of the CFSs. Simply put, if I were to just give you the example of JNPA, currently the port operates at about 7.2 million TEUs, and the port is very clear that they have a plan to take this up to 10 million TEUs in the coming maybe 1-2 years. And there is a certain percentage of this volumes which come in into the CFSs, and a certain percentage of that will obviously go into the DFCC. And with the number of CFSs kind of capped in the Nhava Sheva region, the existing CFSs will have to pick up the increase in volumes, which is a significant increase in volumes which can happen over the next 2-3 year time horizon. From around 7.2 million to 10 million, that's a good 25% increase in port volumes which is anticipated. And there is a certain percentage of that which flows in into CFSs, which is currently at about 40% of the port volumes flow into CFSs. Therefore, our estimate for the coming years, on which we have made our expansion plans, is there will be continued strong growth with regard to the addressable market and the volumes which come into CFSs. DFCC and others will make the multimodal mix a little better, but the two key ports of Mundra and Nhava Sheva, JNPA, will continue to grow in terms of addressable markets, and that is why we are building capacity in both these markets. I hope I have given you a perspective on the question that you asked, Vikram.
Yes, sir, very much clear. And just last question about Dadri, how is the competitive scenario, and which CTO we use for rail operation at Dadri?
We use Concor. They are our partners. Concor is what we use, and there are a certain number of regulated number of CFSs which are there, and you know which of them are there, about 5 major operators, and that's a very compact market. And we are one of the leading operators there. That's got the JV that we have with Concor.
Right. Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Vikram.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Akshay Kothari from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, pardon me for my understanding. My understanding is very limited in this. How much revenue does one TEU generate for us?
So around 11,000 rupees per TEU. Pritham was alluding to that. We are in the range of 10,500 to 11,500 rupees per TEU.
Okay, and how does this stack against our competitors? How does this industry actually work? Is there any premiumization which can happen on this front?
Premiumization is something which is very difficult given the capacity which is available, and it's a very fragmented market. There are very few organized players, and therefore the objectives of every set of CFS operators are different. For us, we are in this as part of an integrated logistics solution that we provide customers as part of the All Cargo Group. We are a listed entity. We are sharply focused on profitability and long-term shareholder value. And therefore, our focus has consistently been on how do we kind of maximize operational efficiencies, customer delight, bring in digital enablement and solution for our customers, and therefore get industry-leading profitability margins. If you were to look at pure CFS businesses and look at the listed peers which are there, there are a couple of listed peers, we believe our EBITDA per TU is industry-leading numbers, which is the outcome of all the things that I mentioned to you. Operational efficiency, commercial savviness, being close to the customer, and the benefits that we get as being part of the All Cargo Group. So that's our position, and we would like to grow our business in that manner. And we have significant plans for the future, like what we spoke about a little while back. And we genuinely believe the India growth story is very strong, and we would like to contribute to it strongly. And for that, we are building capacity. And that capacity that we are building, we would like to build it significantly from internal accruals. And therefore, we have a long-term stake in the success of this industry and in this business. So that is our view of the CFS ICD business.
Okay.
That makes it clear for you, Akshay.
Yeah. That was very helpful. How much capex do we plan to do for 3.5 lakh TEU in next 3 years?
So there is a CapEx estimate that we have depending upon the way in which we execute some of the projects that we have. So between Farukhnagar, where we have already invested about 100 crores, Mundra, where we have already bought land of about 60 acres, the expansion in JNPT and the possible expansion in Chennai, we expect a CapEx outlay of around 450 to 500 crores over the next 3 years. Part of it has already been spent, and a lot of it will be met by internal accrual.
I'm sorry, did I hear 250 to 500 crores?
450 to 500 crores.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. And our EBITDA per TU would be in the range of?
Currently, we are around 2,200. Preetam, refer to that number. Last quarter, we are at 2,292. But our benchmark number is in the range of 2000 to 2200. So we are hovering around that number for the last 4 to 6 quarters, and we would like to maintain it at that level.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Akshay.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I understand that with this DHC, the turnaround times would improve. Sir, so is there a possibility of us improving our throughput per TEU just because of the faster turnaround time, and that can give us additional incremental EBITDA going forward?
Yeah, I think theoretically that's how it works. What you said is exactly the benefit of DFCC, faster turnaround times, and therefore more handling and throughput of cargo. That's what it should lead to. We are starting to see slow change in that. Maybe it'll take a little while for this entire thing to settle down and the multimodal mix to also change. So we expect this, and therefore as an industry watcher, we believe this is good tailwinds for us in terms of how we can look at our future with greater optimism. And that is also the reason why we are taking a bet and expanding capacity in these markets.
So if I look at our current static capacity, and so what would be the static capacity currently, and what is the throughput multiple that we are doing currently? And sir, if I consider on a conservative basis, like next 3 years till the time we'll reach to 1.28 lakh million TEUs, sir, what kind of throughput do we see over the next 2 to 3 years panning out? It can we expect it to improve by 10-15%, or that is too much to think of?
So our current annual throughput is about, including the JV that we have, we do about 6.7 lakhs TEUs is what we did last year. And our ambition is to get to a million TEUs, which is 10 lakh TEUs in the next 3 years. which is a combination of increase in capacity, which I outlined earlier, currently 8.3 lakh capacity, growing to about 13 lakh capacity, and a combination of increase in capacity and throughput. The multiple would currently be around 2.5 to 3, which can only become better with faster throughput and faster evacuation, as you kind of mentioned.
Got it. Sir, what would be our current market share in the major Mundra and JNPT markets currently? And sir, how is the like competitive intensity in Farukhnagar and the Chennai facility that we are planning?
Our estimated market share, and here again I must give you a disclaimer, you do not have independent published sources for market share. These are numbers that we have to collate and which we keep track of. Our estimate of our market share of the CFS facilities that, where we are operating is in the range of 12 to 12.5%. And that is what our intelligence, market intelligence tells us. We expect marginal growth in this with additional capacity that we are having. In terms of operation, in terms of market intensity that you talked about in Chennai, there aren't any new CFSs which have come up of late, so it's pretty similar to what it was over the last 1 year. But what Chennai is witnessing is a shift of cargo between the two clusters of ports, the erstwhile Chennai port, which is located within the city, and the new cluster of ports of Kattupalli and Ennore, which is 25-30 kilometers from the current port. There is a significant shift of volume which is starting to happen, which used to be 70-30, the earlier port, in favor of the earlier port, now is approaching about 50-50. So that's a market insight that you have of Chennai. Otherwise, the competition intensity remains pretty much the same.
Got it. So that was from mine, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Madhur.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suresh Kumar, the Managing Director, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you to all of you who have joined the call and for the questions that you have given. I hope Preetam and I have been able to give you a clearer picture of the plans that ATL has. In summary, we have started off Q1 on a strong note. We are well poised to implement our three-year plan, and the milestones that we have had for Q4 of last year and Q1 of this year, we have crossed them successfully. We look forward to completing the rest of the milestones in a three-year plan and reach our aspiration of an organization which handles 1 million EOs laden in the next 3 years. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your participation and your questions. Looking forward to connect with you in the next investor's call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of El Cargo Terminals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.